Christy.
Hey, Kelly.
How's it going?
Good. Good.
That's good.
I've been procrastinating, and I just wrote my podcast out this morning.
Oh, I've been too. I didn't realize this weekend was going to be the way it is, but that's okay. My mom is currently texting me. My dad is trying to build a breathing machine. So, you know, corona hysteria.
Yeah.
At its finest.
Funny.
She said, "Help me. Your father's trying to build a breathing machine." I just said, "No, he can't. Like, I don't know what's happening." But anyways.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. I'm just trying to, like, you know, not get into the hysteria, but stay safe. So, anyways.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I did some spring cleaning, and I cleaned out an extra bedroom because Kat is going to be moving in here after her semester.
Uh-huh.
So, but basically all I've done is moved all my crap that I keep in the extra bedroom into, like, the dining area.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh, what have you done? And then I just stopped and got overwhelmed, like, by
yeah.
So anyways,
that's okay. I need to do some spring cleaning.
Yeah. What movie are y'all seeing
last week? What is it called? Invisible Man, I think.
Ooh, that looks
scary.
Yes, but I heard it's also, like, very well done. Like, it's creeptastic in a good way.
Yeah. I hope they haven't shut down the movies. I'm going to have to look up and make sure. I've heard that some movie theaters are closing.
Yeah. It was on the thing, like, as one of the things they said not to do, but I feel like y'all, like, just take your Lysol or wipes and wipe your armrest down. Like, I don't know.
Wear my gloves and mask.
Yep. You know, just do it. I don't know. It's kind of wild how everything is, like, it's like, I don't know what to do because it's like, I want to, like, quarantine, but I'm also, I mean, Missy, I'm very concerned about my mental health, like, going into the next couple weeks because I'm not going to be able to, like, see you guys.
I know.
And I don't know what I'm going to do, girl. I don't know.
It's going to be terrible.
Yeah. Y'all stay safe out there.
I know. It's crazy. Wash your hands, people. Wash your hands.
Wash your hands. Wash your hands. Wash your hands. Yeah.
No hugs.
No hugs. Elbow bumps.
Goodness.
It's crazy.
Oh, you sent me a text this week.
I did.
Our guy from last time.
Vaughn.
Yeah. Vaughn Lester Taylor, the judge overturned his death row sentence.
Yeah. So. And that is from our episode
2 weeks ago, right?
Bad Friends, yeah.
Yeah, from Bad Friends. It says, because Mr. Taylor's death sentence was based on his invalid guilty plea, it must be vacated, the judge wrote.
Right.
So, but it doesn't say what he's... It doesn't really say what he's got now. I guess he's got life like the other guy. I don't know.
I think they're taking it. I think that is going to be determined in court. I'm not sure, but from what I read, I think I could be wrong. But whenever we know for sure, we'll put it on the Instagram. I thought that was wild, Missy. I mean, we just did that case. Like, I don't know. And you talked about how, you know, he was like, well, I didn't actually kill them. Mm-hmm. And it was just like, we had just discussed all of that. And then, boom.
Yeah. Wild.
It's crazy.
Wild. Okay, so that is an interesting follow-up. We'll have to keep watching that.
Yes.
And somebody is going to be executed in 3 days. Do you have their name?
Yep. John William Hummel. In Texas. Let's see here. He killed his pregnant wife, 5-year-old daughter, and his father-in-law. Burned their house. and he was having an affair. I think this was in 2009, which also made me realize how quickly Texas executes, you know, because it's like, it's just been 11 years.
Yeah.
So he was having an affair. He was a security guard. He had been honorably discharged from the Marines, no criminal history, but he started this affair and then he killed his whole family. And he ran to California and then to Mexico, and they found him. And when they found him, he said he was glad that he could finally tell the truth. And some people were giving like character statements, like even though he had confessed, people that knew him were like, he would never do this, like just because of his personal history, like there wasn't anything to showcase it. But then the prosecutor showed that he had previously tried to kill his family with rat poison. There was financial issues. It reminded me a lot of Christopher Watts.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking, like how quickly like financial issues and then an affair can turn you to kill your family and surprise everybody around you because you were so loving before.
Right. Like it is truly wild. Like just that combination. And then someone just being like, well, I'm over this, so what's next? You know, like it's crazy. And it feels a lot like the murder suicide cases, because usually they are kind of like, there's these couple negative things going on. You know, like just this perfect storm of situation that causes someone to have that level of like a depravity.
Yeah.
Oh, and I got kind of sad after I realized that we couldn't record here because, you know, my candlestick holders on the table. Okay, so a few weeks ago on Amazon, and I forgot that I had ordered them. I ordered some black wax creepy long like taper candles. And they're perfect. They're like solid black wax, and they fit in my candle holders perfectly. And I was like, this is the most perfect like scene setting for a murder podcast. But they'll be here next week, so it's okay.
Oh, good. So no. I'm trying this week. We'll see. I texted the girl yesterday. I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but I'm trying to buy a laptop.
Oh, good.
So that way we can, like, record easier. Like, record ourselves for, like, our Patreon.
And, yes.
So I don't know yet what I'm going to do. If I'm just going to buy one from the store, but there's somebody that we mutually know that says she's got, a brand new laptop for sale.
Oh, cool.
But I'm not sure which version it is. She won't tell me. So I'm like, is it really a good deal or should I just go buy like an actual brand new one?
Right. Yeah.
So I don't know. But I texted her yesterday and I was like, look, I'm trying to buy it this week. Can you just tell me what kind of
laptop is this?
Yeah. Give me the numbers on it so I can Google this. But if not, I saw this little, I don't know what it's called. Like a little Chromebook kind of.
Okay,
it was fairly cheap, but I thought, well, that would do for our purposes. I'm sure it has like a camera on it. I didn't look at that, but anyways, I thought that would be kind of fun if we could,
just
buy that for our podcast. And then we could like video record us doing it and then put that on the Patreon.
That's awesome. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm going to try to get one this week.
Awesome. Oh, and then next weekend we can like practice with it and stuff. It'll be good.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, and then I didn't tell you. Okay, so I bought a ticket for The Rape of Two Corys. I don't know if you heard about that documentary. But there was, like, it didn't work. Like, everybody logged on, and then there was no documentary. And so apparently Corey Feldman was tweeting about it. And I was like, well, I don't have a Twitter account, but I need one so I can see what is going on with this because I paid $20.
Right.
And so anyways, I made one, but I went ahead and made it for our podcast because I was like,
oh, cool.
I'm never gonna like tweet anything on my own.
Right.
So I just went ahead. So now we have a Twitter, y'all, at Dying to Kill. So that will be easier for us to just do updates for like execution days or whatever.
Yeah, we talked about that after we were recording the other night simultaneously with Nathaniel Woods being executed and about how it would be good for us to have a platform to like live update instead of like updating as the podcast was going on a case that was going to be presented like days later. So yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Okay. So at Dying to Kill.
Let me look. I'm going to it right now. It's Dying to Kill podcast, and it says at Kill Dying is what it gave us.
So. Okay. Kill Dying.
Yes. And so I think the only people that we follow right now is Corey Feldman and his wife.
So why did the documentary not work?
Okay, well, the company that he had hired, some production company, they said they had done all these test runs and, you know, everything went fine and they were prepared for the number of people to get on at the same time to watch it. But then they said there were people hacking into their system and they said they couldn't stop it. Like, they were trying to fight against it.
Uh-huh.
But they couldn't stop it.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know who the hackers were, but, you know, I guess somebody didn't want it to go on as planned. So,
right.
Anyways, the next day, they managed to play it on, like, a loop. They played it for, like, I think, like, 48 hours or something on a loop. So, you could just get on whenever you had the time and watch it. So, I did get to watch it.
Oh, that's good. So,
yeah. So, at first, everybody was like, oh, it was a scam. He just scammed y'all out of $20. But, no, we got to watch
it. Did you learn anything new?
I mean, not really. I mean, it was... Because I like documentaries and things like that. So, I mean, it was... I think it was nicely done. And, you know... He sat there and answered a lot of questions and went into a lot of detail, but he really didn't say anything new that he hasn't already said in the past.
Right. Gotcha.
So everybody was like, he's going to name somebody, which
right.
he did. It was Charlie Sheen, but you can look at articles where he said it was Charlie Sheen years ago, you know? So,
right.
So it was nothing like absolutely new.
Yeah. Gotcha.
But anyhow, okay, today, I was going to do that one guy, and then it was just too much for me, so I changed it today, last minute.
Okay.
We're going to go to Texas. I feel like there's a lot in Texas, but maybe because of
the
state.
There are.
And we're going to talk about a Black Widow today, Betty Lou.
Yes.
So, Betty Lou Beets was born... March the 12th, 1937. So she would have just had a birthday recently.
Mm-hmm.
She was born in North Carolina. And I think I read somewhere, but I didn't write it down. They ended up moving to like Virginia, West Virginia, something like that. She had a rough upbringing, according to everything I read. She lost her hearing when she was 3 due to measles. When she was 5, she claimed she was sexually abused by her father and then several other people that she knew. At 12, her mom was institutionalized, and then had to take care of all her siblings. And I didn't read how many siblings she had, just said younger siblings.
Right.
So when she was 15 years old, she got married for the first time.
Okay.
Yeah, very young. So that would
And this would have been like 1952.
Early. Yeah, yeah. So she married Robert Franklin Branson. And they were married about a year, and she said he abused her and they got separated. However, some point after that, Betty attempted suicide. They reconnected, and I think he was the one. I read that she married one husband twice. I think he's the one that got remarried. And then he ended up leaving her for good in 1969.
Okay.
So not very long after. She's a very quick
right.
mover. In 1970, she got married again to Billy York Lane. And it didn't really tell me, like, because she had kids. Like, who's... kids belong to who. I know, I think I read that she had 5 kids. So she got married to Billy York Lane. She said that he was also abusive to her. And he did, in fact, break her nose during an argument.
Oh, wow.
She retaliated by shooting him.
Well, you know.
Yeah. He did not die. she was charged with attempted murder. The charges were dropped against her because he admitted that he threatened her life first, and that's why she shot him. And so 2 years later, 1972, they got divorced. In 1973, just she waits like a year, and then she's with someone else.
Wow.
This time I thought was strange because she began dating Ronnie Threlkeld, and they didn't get married though until 1978. So I thought in my mind, if you date someone for 5 years, I mean, you pretty well know them, right?
Yeah.
But they got married in 1978, and then 1 year later, 1979, she tried to run him over with her car. So
it's just something about the wedding, it just sets her off.
Yeah, like you've got 1 year, buddy, and then she's gonna try to kill you.
Right.
So he didn't die. I don't know if she actually hit him. It just says she tried to run him over.
Okay.
In the same year, 1979, she married husband number 4, Doyle Wayne Baker.
Betty Lou, you just out here.
From one to the next. So that one didn't last long either. And it didn't really say much else about him at this point. But in 1982, she married her 5th husband, Jimmy Don Beats. He was Beatle.
She's only 45 at this point.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So they got married in 1982. A year later, surprise, she told her son from a previous marriage, and I have his name somewhere, Robert Branson. I guess I should have tried to look up and see how old he was. Like I said, it didn't really say who the kids belonged to.
Yeah.
But she told her son to leave the house because she planned on killing Jimmy. So he left.
Came back
a couple hours later.
Wow.
And Jimmy had been shot dead. So he and his mom buried Jimmy in the backyard. So Betty then reported Jimmy missing. And that was in 1983. And let's see, I have all these different notes that I'll just go back to the notes later, but so during a search, what was that, 1983, so 2 years later, they had evidence, some sort of evidence pointing to Betty.
Okay.
And so they come and they've got a search warrant for her house.
Okay.
During the search, they found his remains, but they also found the remains of her 4th husband, Doyle Wayne Baker.
What?
Yes. So both men had been shot in the head by the same .38 caliber pistol, and they were both buried at the house. I think I read one of them was buried in the yard somewhere, and one was buried like in a storage building on the property, like under the floor. Maybe it was like a dirt floor or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So two of her children testified against her, and they also admitted that they had a hand in concealing the murders. So the first was Robert Branson. He helped bury the body of Jimmy. And he said he also put some of his heart medication in his boat, and he and Betty abandoned the boat in the lake. On August 12th, 1983, the boat washed ashore at a marina. So everyone thought that he fell overboard and drowned. So they spent 3 weeks dragging the lake looking for Jimmy.
Oh, my word.
Uh-huh. And then the daughter, Shirley Stinger, she says that she helped bury Baker in 1981. So he had been dead for several years prior.
Oh, wow.
So, but anyways, despite all that, bodies being found and her kids testifying against her, Betty pleaded not guilty. And she blamed her kids for the murders. And said that they murdered the men and buried them.
Oh, my word.
Yes, I know. It was like cold-hearted.
First of all, to even like involve your children in that and then to try to blame. Wow.
I know. I always hate it when people involve their kids because I feel like someone that might not normally do something has been living with someone so crazy for their whole life that they're basically brainwashed to do. And a lot of times they just want to please their parent, you know?
Yes.
So they'll do anything like, okay, I'll help you bury this body, you know, which if they had
and then there's also the fear like that if they don't, there would be retaliation, you know, like, oh
yes. So I feel so bad for all her kids. But she was found guilty. She was sentenced to death for the murder of Jimmy. She was never tried for the murder of Baker since she had already gotten the death penalty.
Oh, okay.
And on February 24th, 2000, at 6:18 p.m. is when she died by lethal injection in Texas's Huntsville unit. She has supporters that say her marriages were plagued with sexual and domestic abuse, and that she was charged and convicted in a time. There is a law that came out, I didn't write down what it was called, but it was supporting women that were, or I guess men too, that were abused to the point where they killed their abusers. So they get like less of a sentence if it's found that there's abuse. So she has people on her side that said, you know, she should have got some sort of leniency. But also the evidence of abuse was never even presented in court.
Right.
So the only thing the court saw was there's multiple dead bodies and her kids are saying, yeah, she did it. And then had me help her cover it up.
Right. Well, and there's also in this situation where she also shot someone and tried running someone else over. So,
Bill and Ronnie, they also testified against her.
Okay. And I have no doubt that someone it sounds like she's very unstable. Someone as unstable as Betty Lou would probably find someone equally unstable. So there probably was abuse, but I mean, there are dead bodies and it was never reported. And
yeah.
Oh,
and
my.
And it's her actual, what she was like tried for was, murder for remuneration. Which I googled that word, and it's money paid for work or service is the definition, but they say she tried to collect life insurance and pensions on her dead husbands.
Like the classic Black Widow move.
Yes.
Okay.
And what else? She was married in total 6 times, but twice was to the same man. Like I said, I think it was that first one after she tried to kill herself. He came back and they got remarried. She did have a criminal record prior to this murder trial. Once was for shooting her former husband, Bill, and then the other was for public lewdness. So, I don't know what she was doing.
You said, I don't know what she was doing.
I don't know what she was doing.
Oh, my word.
Okay, so that's where I'm looking at my notes. That's where they talked about the kids. She was the second woman executed in the state after reintroduction of the death penalty in like the 70s, like 1976 or whenever it was, because they stopped death penalties for a long time and then it came back, I think, in like 76.
Right.
And she was the second woman. So there's not many women from 76 to the year 2000 to actually be executed.
And that's like in the United States or in Texas?
Texas.
Okay, gotcha.
Oh, wow. And so she was 62 years old when she died. She had 5 children, 9 grandchildren. And I didn't know this, but I read an article said, like most executed criminals, she was cremated. I didn't know that they cremated most of them. I never even really thought about what they did with them afterwards.
I didn't think there would be like a standard. Really? Yeah,
it says most are cremated. And then her ashes were scattered on her mother's grave.
Her mom's bones were probably like, please get away from me.
I know. But I don't know what she was institutionalized for either. I mean, I guess she was a nut job as well. I don't know.
Yeah, that, you know, it's kind of because historically, sometimes women were institutionalized just for like being women with independent thoughts. But then other times it's because at the time we just didn't understand what mental illness was, like that baseball player I did and his tobacco heart, but he was actually like a manic depressive. So
So she declined any last words.
Okay.
She also declined a last meal.
What?
Yeah.
Betty Lou, I'm disappointed.
I've got some pictures of her I'm gonna put up.
What does she look like? Just give me like a base description.
She looks so nice. Okay, let me pull these pictures up so I can tell you. So I've got one that I guess is her through the years. She's got like this beautiful big hair.
Okay.
I don't know. How do I explain her?
She have dark hair, light hair?
Well, she has light colored hair. I believe they said that she was naturally brown headed, so I don't know if she colored it. Or maybe these pictures are just black and white. Maybe it's a light brown. But yeah, she's got some curls. She's got it teased up high. Basically, she looks like the ones from the 50s.
Okay, okay.
Like, she looks like she's from the 50s with this high hair.
I love it. I'm just picturing like, just like a little lady with a big beehive with a big old shotgun.
I read that she was like 5'2 or 5'3 and weighed like 113 pounds.
Oh, tiny my word. Mm-hmm. There's like a whole lot going on in that tiny little person though.
Yes.
Wow. It feels kind of different whenever it's like a mom that's on death row, I guess. But she did, I mean, it wasn't very maternal of her to include her children in the murders. So, wow.
I mean, some of her pictures, I mean, she looks like a nice lady, but I guess she wasn't.
Apparently not. Wow.
It's almost like she kept getting... what I'm trying to say, like the same type of man that she grew up with, it sounds like.
Yeah,
like her dad abused her, maybe the dad abused the mom, so she went on that same pattern of the type of man. And then when she was like, well, I'm not gonna take this, I'm gonna kill you, and then she would go right on to the next man looking for something, but finding the same type of man that she had before.
Like when people, when you don't work on yourself and you try to like enter a relationship or something and it's just like your trauma repeating itself,
yes,
manifesting in the worst way.
Yes.
Wow.
That's all I got on Betty. It was short and sweet this week.
I love it.
Usually I'm much more long-winded, but
I love it. I love a good Black Widow. It's very, you know, it's very, don't trust what you see. It's very tiny little 5'1" with a shotgun. Like, I just love it. It's very succinct. Betty Lou was one way and she wasn't going to take no shit.
Yeah. I was going to Google her kids too, but I ran out of time. Like the ones that helped.
Yes.
Read if they were charged with anything. Let me. Robert Branson was the son.
I wonder if they got immunity since they testified against her.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
I mean, can you imagine the family reunions? Because she had 5 kids and she had 9 grandkids. Like, if that has happened in your family, what else do you talk about whenever y'all get together for Christmas? Like, what do you talk about?
Yeah. Anybody visit mom lately?
No, she won't stop telling people I killed Billy or whatever. Yeah.
I can't read. Betty Lou beats the Texas Black Widow. When she aimed, she killed.
Oh my God. So dramatic.
Yeah. That's a headline for you. I just keep reading that this son testified against her, but I'm not seeing where it shows that he was charged with something. So you're right, maybe it's immunity.
You know, it super creeps me out, Misty. Sorry, what did you say?
I said, I was just saying, I don't see anything about him being charged.
Oh, okay. It really, it creeps me out when people commit murder. Like, okay, well, murder obviously is creepy, but like when someone murders and then they turn their property into like a graveyard, like that creeps me out. I don't know how you like wake up and like drink your coffee, look out the window, and you're like, oh, that's where Doyle's at. Oh, and there's Bill. Like that to me, I think it's totally different. Like being able to live in peace, like in a place where you've done something like that, and then live in peace in a place where you've done something like that and their bodies are there. Like how?
Yeah. I don't know. That's weird. I couldn't do it.
Uh-uh.
I would be scared of the haunts that would come out.
The spirits?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if they're going to come out to haunt somebody, it's going to be you for killing and burying them on the property.
Right. And you're just right there. Like, oh man, I don't know. That always, like, didn't you put a fact about Dahmer on our Instagram? And about Jeffrey Dahmer and the bodies?
Uh-huh.
In the shower?
In the shower, yeah, that he kept in the shower for a while.
And he would actually, like, shower, too. With the body. Like, I don't understand. How are you just gonna keep their... Oh! Yeah, that is like a whole other level. I just got to see Betty Lou's picture. I can't wait to see it on the Instagram because it'll be like a surprise. Like to see this little lady with this beehive and like she was just, you know, had a graveyard in her backyard of the men she murdered. Like, wow.
Oh, I found something. Okay. Betty Lou Beats. This is Murderpedia. Betty Lou Beats admitted that she previously had been convicted of public lewdness, which apparently occurred when she was in Charlie's Angels Bar, a Dallas bar, where she was then employed but was not working when the incident occurred. She testified that she auditioned that night without specifying what type of audition it was for. Well, it's a topless place, but I wasn't topless. Beats also admitted on cross-examination that she had been convicted of another misdemeanor offense that resulted when she shot another former husband, Bill Lane, in the side of the head. So she was auditioning for something at work at a topless bar, but she wasn't topless, so I don't know. She got arrested for it for public lewdness.
Well, okay.
So that's what that was about. I don't know. I still don't see. I don't see anything about her kids. So.
Okay.
So.
Well, maybe you know they could stop that passing on that generational trauma and hopefully maybe find another topic to discuss around the holidays when they're all together.
Yes.
I don't know how you recover from that, though.
Whew. I don't know. I would just have to move on, I think.
I guess I should be grateful that my dad is, like, you know, trying to build a ventilator and not, like, murdering people and asking for help in getting rid of the bodies. Like, I'm just gonna... That'll be my little gratitude for the day.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yes. My parents have never asked me to help them hide a body, and I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, mine either. We've got good parents.
We really do. We really do.
I need something good. I never come with a silver lining, and then I think of them later. Mine is that... we're going to the movies today. I'm excited about that. And if they're not closed due to the coronavirus.
Yes.
I ordered... okay, do you know that brand? I don't know if I say it right. Lange? Like the hair stuff? You're not on Facebook, so you may not see the ads all the time.
No, but I do like hair stuff, so tell me about it.
Okay, so I got sucked into an ad yesterday. And they were having free... hair straighteners if you spend $29. So I bought several things. I bought Brian.
$29 is not a lot.
No. So I bought Brian a shampoo, and because they have like a men's like bourbon. He loves anything bourbon. So it's like a bourbon scented shampoo. I bought me some, I don't know what it's called. It's like the spray stuff you put in your hair. It's like salty air, or like a textury kind of,
like to do like the beach look.
Yes. And then I bought something else and I don't remember what it was. I thought maybe I saved it on here, but I didn't. Anyway, so I bought three things and my total was like $34 or something. And then I got a free straightener.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
Yeah. So I'm super excited.
Yeah.
Super excited. I don't hope it doesn't take long to get here.
Yeah, I hope not too. I'm trying to think of my other than my parents not being well, if they are murderers, they've never asked me to hide a body. Silver lining. I mean, this is kind of lame, but like, oh, my sister is pregnant. That's not lame.
Oh, that's good news.
Yeah, it is. We're going to have a new baby in the family in October. So kind of crazy right now because her and her husband just sold their house. And so they were planning on, they're building a house and they're going to be living at my parents' house when the house is being built. And then she found out she was pregnant. And so. So, like, a lot going on for them, but, you know, exciting. We all need a baby to hug sometimes, especially when the world seems upside down, or, you know, there's a massive infection going around that has everyone freaked out and buying all the toilet paper and bread, apparently.
I know.
But, yeah, I'm excited. We don't know if it's going to be a boy or girl yet, but Tessa wants it to be a boy. I don't really care because I didn't think we'd have any more babies in the family. So I'm excited, but that's why Kat's going to be probably moving in here is because they're going to be living there. So anyways, yeah, I'm excited. Yeah,
exciting. I love babies.
I know. I can't wait to smell it.
I know.
I'm just so happy. Yeah.
That's a good silver lining.
And hopefully no one will ever ask it to hide a body.
Hopefully your sister never asks this sweet baby to hide bodies in the yard.
Right? Oh, gosh. Wow. That is just, whew, a lot. Well, good job, Misty, and thank you.
Well, thank you for listening.
Yes, and you can find us on all the socials now because we have a Twitter. At Kill Dying on Twitter, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And then Dying to Kill _podcast on Instagram. Dying to Kill podcast on Facebook, right?
Yes.
Our email is
dyingtokillpodcast@gmail.com.
Is that it? I think that's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's it, yeah. And we have a Patreon that we don't really have anything on yet, but hopefully...
We're working.
We will soon.
And we will let y'all know when we do.
Yes.
All right. Well...
All right. That was a good one. I'm excited.
Thanks for listening.
For your next one.
Yes. It's going to be a surprise.
I was about to say I like surprises, but I really don't like surprises. So.
I mean, it's going to be a murder-suicide, so you know that.
No surprise. Okay. All right. Well, we hope you all enjoy, and we will see you next week.
All right. Bye.